This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Lest you think that we could not go older than Stugatz's Pistol Pete talk and Carrie Strug talk, Mike Ryan has spent the entire break researching Otto Graham. We bring in our resident football historian, Greg Cody of the Miami Herald. We are having a brawl. We are arguing about quarterbacks. Justin Herbert appears to be the truth. Under pressure in week five, according to Pro Football Focus, his passer rating was higher than anybody's, 154.8. Second place on that list, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Third place, Derek Carr. So it could be one outlier weird week of guys against pressure, but Justin Herbert looks like he might be the new young mobile quarterback that you're looking for in today's NFL. Mike Ryan just went down a research hole because Greg Cody, you and I, and Stugatz were sort of reminiscing about Steve Young as an athlete because Mike Ryan dared to stick his toe in the water of Baker Mayfield is an athlete like Steve Young was. And if I put Baker Mayfield in the 90s, he would look like Steve Young did.
All right, hang on. I'm so afraid of this becoming the actual truth.
Right.
My argument was athleticism has changed, and the barometer of athleticism has changed, where you see someone like Baker Mayfield, who has 32 rushing yards in the season, if you drop him in the 90s, the comp is closer to a Steve Young. It became Baker Mayfield as Steve Young. I'm not making that argument. I also thought as a child, through a child's eyes, that Steve Young was rushing for thousands of yards and his like best season ever was 500 rushing yards. He was actually really comparable to someone like Aaron Rodgers on the low end of his career.
But if you drop anyone next to Troy Aikman, they're going to appear like a running quarterback. I mean,
cement-shoed Troy Aikman. What we were talking about in the Big Suey is the idea that the position is evolving and evolving quickly. And in athleticism, these backups that are coming in, it's like dinosaurs. It's Andy Dalton and Joe Flacco. It's like seeing dinosaurs come in from the locker room and play quarterback, big, tall statues that you put in your backfield, because we're seeing how quickly all this is changing. And one of the things we were talking about is the top of the food chain in quarterbacking in the NFL has never been this black. And the stars in that league at that position historically have been white. The rules have been changed to protect those stars because so many other players out there are disposable, and those guys aren't. You need the quarterback to stay upright. So basically, the quarterback is playing a totally different game than everyone else. And how dangerous do the Kyler Murrays and the Lamar Murrays, as Greg Gumbel likes to call him, how dangerous do they become when you change the rules for them and guys are afraid to also hit them at any point because you're going to give them 15 free yards? So as that evolution happened, we started wondering whether Drew Brees is the third best quarterback in New Orleans. We started talking about how Drew Brees has a faster 40 time somehow than Jameis Winston. We were confused by that. And Stugatz was just generally confused by where Teddy Bridgewater fits in all of this.
So I was thinking, okay, I'm going to go even further back than Steve Young because he wasn't exactly the athlete that I recall in terms of rushing production.
Wait, where did Cody go?
I mean, we're in his wheelhouse.
But we just lost him.
I know, because I'm about to go to Otto Graham. That's a bummer. I
brought up Sid Luckman, Sid the Kid.
Sid Luckman as you continue to deteriorate by the day around here in a way that's appalling. Sid the Kid.
So I'm a Browns fan, and they always talk about Otto Graham. This is this amazing dual threat. You couldn't find a better runner of his era than Otto Graham. So I open up Pro Football Reference, and I find Otto Graham's first year in the league. Changing the position to the tune of negative 125 rushing yards. Otto Graham's average rushing attempt was -4.5 yards his first year in the league. He never topped 200 yards rushing, he is talked about as the Michael Vick of his time.
Did they keep stats differently then when it came to sacks and stuff? Was Otto Graham sacked an inordinate amount for such an athlete of his time?
I think he was. Mike, do me a favor. Get to Sid the Kid. I'll wait for it because because I want you to see it.
What are you doing? I mean, why do you insist on
just
doing
get to the
this?
Career rushing numbers.
What are you? All right, explain to me. You go ahead and take the show from here. I'd like to listen to what you plan to do with this. You grab the steering wheel and do you the secret Sid Luckman show that you've been wanting to do for 20 years.
Sid Luckman from Aventura.
He is. You're right. Sid the Kid. I've been trying to support Mike here and his theory, and I think that he's right. So I want him to check out Sid the Kid, because I'm telling you, Sid could scoot. I
mean, it's going to be bad, right, Mike? It's going to be laughably bad.
You want his best year or
no,
his
I
career?
Want, I want, no, no, where hold on a second. I want game log. This is Stugatz getting it totally wrong while dragging the show into the sewer with Sid Luckman.
This
talking.
Is the way I remember it.
Okay. When did Sid Luckman play? You don't remember. This is before you were born, Stugatz.
Greg would tell me stories all the time about Sid the Kid.
Sid Luckman, go ahead. Give me, did he ever have more than 100 rushing yards in a season?
No. No, no, it never. His best season rushing the ball, he topped out at, it appears, 86 yards. But let me give you the career numbers, though, because this is a body of work for Sid Luckman. For his career, 204 rushing attempts for minus 239 rushing yards.
They had to keep the stats.
They had four touchdowns.
Let's ask Greg when they changed the stats.
Greg, did they change the way they keep the rushing stats? Greg Cody has now returned. I don't know what his Zoom situation is. Is Sid Luckman, forgive my ignorance here, because this might be obvious just from his name, is he Jewish?
Yes, he's Jewish.
this is why you are celebrating Sid Luckman as an American hero?
Aventura didn't give it away? I mean,
well, Sid Luckman, as a name, probably should have, but I didn't want to be presumptuous on that front.
I mean, Sid Luckman from Aventura, you couldn't be more Jewish.
Greg, tell us, what did they change the way the stats are kept? Because we were talking about the relative athleticism of previous quarterbacks, and we were talking about the terrible stats of Sid Luckman running the ball and Otto Graham running the ball, and we thought it would be good to start with you. Here on the advent of young quarterbacks, as Justin Herbert and Josh Allen try to keep the position from being endangered, young white men can also play that position now. Can you tell us, give us all your fond thoughts about statistics from the 40s and Sid Luckman and Otto Graham?
I can't tell you what a dream come true it is that I would rejoin the show and the first words I would hear would be Sid Luckman. Oh, that's fantastic. As a matter of fact, I think that quarterbacks who took a sack used to have that sack minus against their rushing total. I'm not positive, but I think back in Luckman's era, if you took three sacks, you all of a sudden had 30 minus 30 yards rushing. So check that. But I believe that was the way it is. I don't think it's a black white thing with quarterbacks. I really don't. I think it's a mobile versus not mobile thing. But you have enough white mobile quarterbacks like Josh Allen where I think it's a wash on the.
I wasn't asking you black white. It's the rare time. I was just asking you for a time when the quarterbacks played on televisions that were black and white.
Right. I remember those days. Johnny Unitas was one of my first heroes, limping as he dropped back in his high blacktop shoes. A whole different era back then. Drop back quarterbacks were king. Dan Marino used to joke that his mobility consisted of taking a quick step to the left or a quick step to the right to avoid the 300-pound rusher. But it's, you know what? If mobile quarterbacks, the RPO is the big thing now, the run-pass option. If mobile quarterbacks start getting injured because they didn't slide quickly enough, then the whole trend could slowly reverse itself to more of a drop-back style. Cyclical.
Sid, back in 1945, had one for the ages. I mean, he had 36 rushes for minus 118 yards.
I got to tell you, I am so disappointed that you were excited about talking Sid Luckman and Otto Graham, and you gave us nothing on those two players. Like, nothing. You gave us, we went to you, we thought this is the one opportunity. No, I don't want to hear from you now on it. We're up against the clock. Now you're going to give me your opinion on it.
Look, it may be hard for you to believe this, but those guys were actually before my time.
It is hard to believe because Stugatz said you told him all about Sid Luckman. We already accused Stugatz of being born 30 years after Sid Luckman while he's saying that he enjoyed watching him play and he remembers him running around out there. And then when we asked him follow-up questions, he said you told him all about Sid Luckman.
I can tell you that the first quarterbacks I actually remember seeing were guys like Sonny Jurgensen, Johnny Unitas. Those were my earliest. We have Fran Tarkenton, who everybody called Frank.
Yeah.
Those were my earliest quarterbacks.
Don Libertard.
Will you sometimes call your childhood telephone number?
We all do.
We all do?
Thank you. Yeah, I think Greg was saying he does
Greg,
it as well.
Feel free to speak into the microphone instead of that thermos you're drinking out of.
Right.
Because you're on the radio.
We all do.
Stugatz.
All right, I changed my mind. Do the rest of the show.
Yeah, it enhances your whole show into the metal thermos.
You never know.
This is the Don Levitar Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Guest on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Greg Cody, given the straight talk, is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Greg Cody of the Miami Herald says that people who are eating three meals a day are doing it all wrong. We will get to that controversial opinion in a second, but first... that is for Mike Ryan, based on what he just did during the break to us, a little private show for me and Stugatz.
The rare preemptive loser game show shout.
Well, it's not preemptive.
I can't even say that.
It's
wow.
not preemptive. It's just that, it's just that Mike Ryan decided to do a whole riff talking about Ron McGill. Ron McGill was on Good Morning America this morning. He will join us, the animal doctor, as he always does, at 11 o'clock Eastern here. Yeah. But he set it up. He didn't even want to inform me that Ron McGill had been on Good Morning America. It was all as part of a setup to a punchline. So have at it, Mike.
Ron McGill, I don't know if you guys saw this. You guys see this thing? I'm doing the whole monologue thing. You guys see this thing? that viral video of a cougar chasing someone walking through the mountains of California for 6 minutes.
Six minutes. Scary because it kept stopping and going and stopping and going. It looked like it was hungry.
It was terrifying. That actually happened to me once. Yeah.
You're kidding.
No, it happened to me once. Yeah. I had to buy a Cosmo at Hillstone.
I mean, hit it again.
No, he got it preemptively. Cody, why? You're supposed to eat five meals a day, right? That's how I've been doing it, except so they're supposed to be small portions, and no one told me. So why three meals? Why are people who are doing three meals a day doing it all wrong?
Well, I don't think anyone really eats three meals a day. You know, my perspective is that you skip breakfast. You have a light early lunch. You have a beautiful dinner, and you call it a day. I just don't, you know. I don't understand people who eat three meals a day. To me, that's too much food intake. It's too, the interval is too stiff. And I just don't understand it. I'm not trying to say others are wrong. I'm trying to say that I'm right.
I mean, you were saying that others are wrong. You were saying that.
Exactly.
You were saying exactly that anyone who's doing three meals a day is doing it all wrong. And the reason you're not a grotesque fat man is because that's how you eat, because you want to have your eight beers at night.
Right. That you can't argue with that. But, you know, they're only 95 calories each. yeah, I just don't understand the breakfast thing. I've never been a breakfast eater. Granted, usually my lunch is an omelet. So I guess I'm blurring the line there, but I've never been a breakfast eater. You won't see Greg Cody consuming food before noon.
I think he's right about this. I think for the most part, in general, I think Greg is right. It's very rare. The person that sits down and eats three squares a day, it's not happening.
Right.
It's not that, like, he can have his beliefs. It's that when he sees, like, my mom, like, this morning, she was having some sort of fruit for breakfast. And then he says with pride, I'll wait till lunch. Like, she was doing, it's like, she's doing the thing you're supposed to do in the morning, you know, eat a little something, get your metabolism going. And he has this, like, arrogance about it, like, I'll wait till lunch. And it's like, Greg, you realize you're saying something that is not healthy to do.
Well, you know, am I calling myself a superior human being because I don't eat breakfast? Not directly, but you know, maybe if you're inferring
pretty
that,
near but not plumb
wrong, pretty near but not plumb, exactly. Right. Well put.
I mean, it's so important though, Chris. I mean, your dad's still alive; he's still ticking. I mean, barely, but he's still going.
I thought, help me out here, okay? Because I was under the impression that breakfast was the most important meal of the day. There are new trends. Now it's fasting. It's 16 hours. It's eating in 8-hour windows and fasting for 16 hours, which is what Greg Cody is doing, save for the beer, save for the late night beer that gets in the way of that. But he is absolutely a breakfast judger. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Are you someone who has 3 square meals a day? Yes or no? You guys are thinking that's rare. I don't think that's rare.
It was a marketing slogan. Whoever came up with the cliche that we all say, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, was a doctor that was working with a marketing company that was promoting a breakfast cereal. So much like engagement rings, it became part of our just American culture. But it was totally made up by a marketing firm.
If it was so important, you would think the food would be better, right? Like, I think of all the meals, I think lunch has the most options. My favorite is lunch. There are not a ton of options in the morning. They're not. They're just not.
Your favorite is lunch? Oh, I thought you were going to go dinner.
No.
I mean, I feel like lunch is last place.
No,
dinner. Yeah. There's breakfast. Like, you don't like a good, like, breakfast for dinner even. Like, what's wrong with breakfast food?
Because dinner, listen, it's in my wife's hands. Whatever she decides to make, that's what we're having for dinner, whether I like it or not. Lunch, I am all on my own. I have all of South Beach. I have the entire drive home. I can get whatever I want, and she doesn't know about it. So for me, lunch has the best options. I'm left to my own devices, and it has the most options of the things that I enjoy to eat.
That's why it's the saddest meal of the day for me. It's because when I'm alone and unhinged and I can do whatever the hell I want and I eat just like 3 Taco Bell burritos and it's like, God, this is so sad.
Right.
It's a real sad time of the day for me when I'm alone with the food.
Get to the 20-year mark of marriage and tell me how sad it is. All right,
Guillermo, put this on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. Just rank them in order here. I don't know how you're going to write this at Levitard Show, but I want rankings from people to see if they're similar to Stugatz's, because I would have guessed that breakfast would be last place for most people in terms of savory meals. I would guess last place. Right. But the way that Chris describes his incredibly sad lunch experience, where he's got a Taco Bell nacho cheese in his belly button from eating in his car, I'm willing to reconsider.
It's only sad after the fact. Ask Chris when he's in it how sad it is, okay?
Even for normal people like you guys, like you have a turkey sandwich and some potato chips for lunch? That's a better experience than like waffles and some eggs. And like I just feel like breakfast is better than lunch.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Paid that man his money.
You also mentioned a profoundly sad lunching experience, though.
Yeah. You're changing the math. I mean, because usually it's like a cold Pop-Tart when you're rushing out the door. Exactly. That's the breakfast experience.
Like a bran muffin.
You're paying for your lunch with the change in your car. You've got a bunch of 59-cent items.
Love them. 99-cent burrito?
Go get a nice deli sandwich, man. What's the matter with you?
Bah.
Cosmo at Hillstone.
Don Levitard.
You can't have fun when you're old?
Stugatz.
Look at me. I'm having a ball.
Balling it. This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
The Rays were fun when they eliminated the Yankees. They came out on the field to a bunch of New York from Sinatra and Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, Empire State of Mind.
You want Astros, Dodgers. It doesn't appear it's going to go that way. The Braves are really good. The Braves pitching is phenomenal. You got Kershaw in a must-win spot today, which I absolutely love, in the NLCS. But yes, I think the Rays are going to ruin this for everyone. No one wants to see the Rays in the World Series except for Dickie V. I mean, that's it.
Put that on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Is Dickie V the only one who wants to see the Tampa Bay Rays in the World Series? I'm sorry, Christine Lisi. We interrupted you.
And finally, Apollo 11 had about 20 seconds left of fuel left when it landed. Speaking of running out of gas, here's Dan, Stu, and Greg Cody.
Yes, thank you very much, Christine. Are you very excited? Welcome back. Your Bills have a rare Tuesday night football game. Are you very excited? Do you get nervous all day? You told us last time that you curse at the television and the animals and your husband run outside when you're watching Bills games. Do you get nervous because your team appears to be good?
I do. I'm nervous all day. Like Billy said, he gets with the Marlins. I am nervous all day. And the 3 hours or 3.5 hours that the game lasts, it's not that enjoyable, and I feel very relieved when the games are over, which I need to have a better system because I really should enjoy this.
Christy, do you have any earthly idea if we offended or upset downtown Dougie Brown, Dougie Fresh?
I haven't talked to him, but he didn't text me or anything.
Okay.
All right. Good. Can you find out whether we offended him? Because by mistake, we killed Dan the Duke Davis three times yesterday. And when I say we, it was me. I did it three different times. So you're expecting what? Is this a 5 p.m. game today, or is this Tuesday night football, Tuesday early evening football? What time?
It's 7.
Okay.
It's
so
7.
It's, nice. So what are you expecting today? The Titans are your biggest test of the season.
I think the Bills are going to do well. Josh Allen will do well, much to your dismay.
Okay, wow. All right.
That's what we're all rooting for.
Yes, it is what everyone Dan's is dismay. Rooting for. This is, yes, that is. Everyone here is absolutely rooting for my dismay. That is correct. It's the very epicenter of everything we do around here. Thank you, Christine. I hope it goes well for you tonight, even though I think your quarterback is going to have 3 turnovers. Look at her. She's steaming right now.
She's laughing at
you. She is filled with rage. This is funny, though, in terms of quarterback evaluation. What makes it difficult, I mean, I've been making fun of the fact that 6-time executive of the year, Bill Polian, couldn't tell that the MVP of the league could play that position. So obviously, it's a pretty difficult thing to evaluate. But Mike Tannenbaum is looking a little smarter today, saying when asked, who would you take, Burrow or Tua? And he said, Herbert, because of the physical obvious gifts. But the way that quarterbacks, Greg, and you've seen this, quarterbacks in the past, young quarterbacks, it was too much to figure out. A lot of them looked like Josh Allen would look at the beginning. Even Troy Aikman's and Peyton Manning's, Stugatz, would throw a bunch of interceptions their first year, even after waiting for a bit to get on the field in the case of, you know, some of these young quarterbacks.
Right.
Because they don't know what they're doing yet. But there's a level of sophistication that these guys are arriving with where Justin Herbert played a professional football game last night, and anyone watching that could not have told you that that was a rookie quarterback.
He outplayed Drew Brees. Now, he's in there because of what happened to Tyrod Taylor, the unfortunate incident with a punctured lung to Tyrod Taylor, or else Justin Herbert would probably be waiting the entire season, or at least late into the season to play. But you're right, it is rare. And Joe Burrow does not have the same kind of offensive weapons that Herbert has in San
Diego.
Wait
a minute. Herbert's team is hurt. Stugatz.
I mean, but he's got Keenan Allen.
Stugatz, everyone out there.
Keenan Allen was out for the second half.
Super hurt.
But Mike, the first 3 games, like Keenan Allen has caught. I mean, he's been ridiculous with Justin Herbert.
No, I understand. But to Dan's point, I don't understand what's going on with the Chargers. For years, they've been injured. I don't know if this is a training staff thing. I can't understand it. Their defense is littered with injuries, and it is a shame because they're still good.
Right. I mean, Eckler's out for the year.
I think he has a hamstring with no surgery needed. So 4 to 6 weeks was the timeline on that.
This is from Greg Rosenthal. The Chargers were without a Pro Bowl wide receiver, Pro Bowl guard, Pro Bowl defensive end, Pro Bowl cornerback, all pro safety, starting running back, starting right tackle, starting defensive tackle, starting linebacker.
Okay.
All of these teams are getting hurt a lot more because there was no preseason and because we're getting that money. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, this is all the bodies are being thrown in the meat chipper right now. Like, this is what's happening throughout that sport where it's ridiculous how many injuries the 49ers have, how many injuries the Chargers have. And you are just seeing a wood chipper is what I meant to say, but it's become a meat chipper. Cody, you were going to say regarding the evolution of young quarterbacks.
Well, the fact that the Chargers weren't going to start Herbert until Tyrod Taylor got injured underlines the idea that there's no set formula for when to play a rookie quarterback. And that's why I don't second guess the Dolphins right now for what they're doing, because they are watching Tua in practice every day, Tua who didn't have the luxury of any preseason this year. And so, and parenthetically, Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing very well and just came off maybe the best game we've seen him play. So I don't think they should be in a hurry to start Tua, and I don't think they should be looking at what Burrow's doing, and Burrow's had an uneven start, or what Herbert is doing. You know, Herbert was 23 of 40 last night, I think it was. That's not great accuracy. He has been very good, but let's wait. You know, I don't
think those numbers are right, Greg. I don't think you have your numbers right on on Herbert. 23 of 40 isn't that good. But I,
Greg, he was 20 of 34, 264 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, 122.7 rating.
Yeah, that's a lot of, pretty good, Greg.
That's incredible.
I mean, Cody, what game were you watching? We were talking to you about covering 30 years of football.
Breeze?
Like, what were you watching last night? It wasn't the quarterback of the Chargers.
Right.
No, I was watching that game. I was watching it rapidly because I had predicted the Chargers with the points, which I ended up getting that pick right. All I'm saying is that when Ryan Clark goes on ESPN and says, wow, I wonder if the Dolphins made the wrong pick, meaning Tua over Herbert, too early to say that when you haven't seen Tua throw an NFL pass yet. That's what I'm saying.
It was Breeze. It was 33 of 47. Just so we.
And when he talks about these guys not knowing, yes, Herbert is only playing because a doctor punctured the lung. Think about that for a second. Punctured the lung of the starting quarterback right. while trying to give him a painkiller for rib pain. Belichick only started Brady because Bledsoe's lungs filled with blood. That wasn't going to happen. Like, he was not going to play Brady that year.
But I feel like there's still a similar type learning curve. Sometimes you put in a guy like Justin Herbert and he's Dan Marino, and other times you put in Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen and they stink.
But
like,
usually,
you know?
What I am used to is you put in a rookie quarterback and he looks like Haskins. He looks like Daniel Jones. Not Daniel Jones in the first game. Daniel Jones, who fumbles 22 times in 18 games. That's why I'm so surprised that Josh Allen has stopped turning the ball over at the same rate, because I didn't think that was something you could get better, but I didn't think accuracy and recklessness are things that you can improve on. Daniel Jones was a fumbler in college. He's a fumbler in the pros. He's somebody who loses the football. And you can't do that anymore. Like, you're talking about a bygone age. Go look at what some of those quarterback numbers were in terms of interceptions, the guys who were throwing it all over the field. Before the Dan Fouts of the world. Like, that's not something you see anymore. That guy can't get a starting job. That guy now is Jameis Winston. He'll give you 5,000 yards, but if you turn the ball over 30 times, sorry, we're not going to start you in this league, even if you're probably the better option right now than Drew Brees. Did you see Francesa last night?
Fouts, 254 touchdowns for his career, 242 interceptions for his career.
Yeah,
Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame with more interceptions than touchdowns.
Well, he shouldn't be. I mean, that's a whole different discussion for another time. Fouts had a year where he had 30 touchdowns and 26 interceptions. So, to your point.
How about Francesa last night, though, proclaiming Drew Brees done and then that going the way that it went in the second half and overtime?
The Pope.
You didn't really need to rush out with that opinion, Mike.
That's what the Pope does, though.
Don Lebatard.
I love me some doctors. Have a lot of respect for the medical profession.
Stugats.
Except chiropractors.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugats on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Lebatard Show Nason. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Alex Hernandez. I don't know how to pronounce this. At Salejandro, in regards to our conversation on eating three meals a day, quote, lunch appeals to the idea of Stugatz because he can eat whatever he wants, do so with stolen money, and then blame the janitorial staff while he digests. Hashtag the Stufecta. I like that. Stufecta.
What is a Stufecta? It is lying, cheating, stealing?
Yeah. Like it. Thanks.
Okay, what about Flemmy? Flemmy is not part of the Stufecta?
That would make it, Stuquad.
Cristiano Ronaldo has tested positive for the coronavirus. What's the name of the 19-year-old player who grabbed his jersey the other day, Mike Ryan, sweaty after a game, and announced that he would never wash that jersey? Because we got to put it on Lebatard Show. Guillermo, please put it on Lebatard Show. Will the player who asked for Ronaldo's jersey and say he never washed it now wash it because Ronaldo has come down positive and asymptomatic on corona?
It would be Eduardo Camavinga, an absolute sensation, as you said, says he will never wash that jersey. He should probably change his stance on that.
Billy, how do you feel about useless sound here? Is it ready to go? You were in the dungeon. You were cooking. How terrible do you feel? It takes you out of Monday's show. It hurts you in general. How are you feeling today about this?
I'm ready for tomorrow.
Okay, very good. Here it is. He goes into the dungeon and consumes a lot of bad sound bites. Here it is.
Man, really excited to get the victory. You know, it's never easy in the NFL on Sunday ball.
Kind of happy to see some of this stuff happen because you see who the whiners are, who the b****s are, and who can't handle adversity.
Oh, yeah, mama didn't raise no wuss.
We've got to be able to correct the things we need to correct.
Right now, we haven't been playing very good complementary football offensively and defensively.
I'm happy with the way, you know, we played on both sides of the ball.
Tough sledding for a first assignment, but, you know, it just speaks to his heart, his character.
That was a great team win. That was all about the team.
I think as players, we've got to play better.
Wasn't a perfect performance by any stretch, but we're not looking for perfect. We're looking to be good enough to win.
And he's got a lot of pelts on the wall.
He's a baller.
That's a good football team.
If you were there day in and day out and saw those guys, how they practiced last week, you wouldn't know what our record was.
You smell it in the water.
Yeah, I've taken a lot of sad walks up that ramp. You see what I'm saying? But not today.
We're just trying to move the ball around and make everybody defend the entire field, both vertically and horizontally.
We have to be ready in any game to play the game that is called for.
Rod Radke, the foreman of the Red Sox, talked a lot about how preparation and dealing with COVID-19 had affected his ability to do his job. Has COVID-19 and preparation affected your ability to do your job?
I mean, I don't really know anything about baseball.
This will just be another chapter in a great story. He's a fine young man.
He saw what he saw, you know.
This is one game.
You know, defense did the bend but don't break.
And all of a sudden, the avalanche just hit.
I don't think they want to play football.
The strength of our pack is the pack.
And the offense just rock and roll.
Kind of is what it is.
As players, coaches, collectively together, we've got to be able to leave our mark on the wins.
I don't know if it was necessarily more about what they did or more about what we didn't do.
We got to, you know, look at it hard. Correct ourselves, each and every one of us, and then move on to the next game.
We have to be able to look forward and look out the other side of this thing.
Yeah, you know, we have to look ourselves in the mirror and keep our heads up.
We got to go back and really look at ourselves in the mirror. Me at quarterback.
Anytime you have something like this, you have to look more inward than outward.
I had X-rays, and I did not stay at a Holiday Inn, so I don't know how to read them.
What was being smelt in the water? I want to know what was in the water. Was it blood in the water, Billy? What was the backstory on what was being smelled in the water?
I don't know what it was, but I would advise everybody listening, do not smell underwater.
Okay, thank you.
You'll drown in.
Who did you think was the star of this useless sound montage? Because there was some good stuff in there.
Tomlin made a nice comeback this week. This Kevin Stefanski is someone to keep an eye on and see what he's got cooking this season.
All right. Greg Cody, I don't know if you know Stugatz, but it's not just that he has Dak Prescott in his fantasy league.
Oh, no.
But he's also got Michael Thomas. He's got Michael Thomas, who was suspended for punching a teammate in the face. There's got to be more to that story. Greg Cody, I'm sorry. What a suffering your fantasy team is.
You know, the whole league is saying, how on earth are the Lobos?
It's Dan, Stu, and Greg Cody on ESPN Radio.